and I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're going to the book of 2 Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter number 21. 2 Samuel chapter 21, begin reading with verse number 1. Then there was a famine in the days of David 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, "It is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites." And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, "Now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites, and the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house. Neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say, that will I do for you. And they answered the king, The man that consumed us and that devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel, let 7 men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul. But the king took the 2 sons of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, whom she bare unto Saul, Armoni and Mephibosheth, and the 5 sons of Michal, the daughter of Saul, whom she brought up for Adriel, the son of Barzillai, the Meholathite, and he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord, and they fell all 7 together and were put to death in the days of harvest, in the first days in the beginning of barley harvest. And Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, took sackcloth and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of harvest until water dropped upon them out of heaven, and suffered neither the birds of the air to rest on them by day, nor the beasts of the field by night. And it was told David what Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah, the concubine of Saul, had done. And David went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son from the men of Jabesh-Gilead, which had stolen them from the street of Bethshan, where the Philistines had hanged them, when the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from thence the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan his son, and they gathered the bones of them that were hanged. And the bones of Saul and Jonathan his son buried they in the country of Benjamin in Zelah, in the sepulchre of Kish his father. And they performed all that the king commanded. And after that, God was entreated for the land. All right. Now, this can get pretty complicated here. There's some things going on here under the surface that if you're a student of the Bible and a student of the Old Testament, you'll find, but it's, you know, it's not a common thing to study. It's not a common thing to study. So we're given the nutshell version here in this scripture. So what's going on? There's a famine in the land. Now, a famine means that there's drought, kind of like what we're having right now. There's drought. The harvest is not giving all of its strength. And, you know, I don't think it was a severe famine. A famine means the harvest isn't as good as it normally is. It doesn't mean there's no harvest at all. I think they would have caught that after 1 year, don't you think? 1 year or two, but 3 years? 3 years in a row, something's up. And so David sees that this is going on and there's a famine, and it's 3 years, year after year. And so David goes and inquires of the Lord. Now, there's a procedure for that. There's a procedure for that. And the procedure involves the Urim and the Thummim and bringing hither the ephod and having the priest cast lots over the situation. And, the answers were typically yes or no. And there must have been a lot of questions asked and a lot of things looked at for them to divine that it was the Gibeonites and that Saul had slain the Gibeonites. Now, how they came to that conclusion? You know, David also had access to prophets. His own personal seer was Nathan, and so he had Nathan the prophet, and he was able to go to him. Although in the last list of the king's men that we saw at the end of the 20th chapter, we don't see that David had a seer. We see that there are two priests, Zadok and Abiathar. Now, David has gone to Abiathar before to inquire of the Lord. And that was, again, it was a very specific procedure. There was a specific ritual. We talked about this just a little bit last week, how that there's a very specific ritual needs to be followed. And there's some things that needs to be done, and we're going to talk about a few of those things today. I don't think we'll probably get done, but we'll talk through a few of these things that needed to be done. There's a lot to be said for the Urim and the Thummim. Now, Urim means lights. Thummim means perfection. And God's light is perfect. In Him is no darkness at all. Now, tradition holds that Urim and Thummim, and both of those are plural, by the way. There's more than one when you talk about Urim, and there's more than one when you talk about Thummim. And so there's more than one of each. And the lights and perfections, and they were probably held in the little pocket that was made in the breastplate of judgment. It's been a long time since we studied the breastplate of judgment. It's been about 18 years since we've studied through. We started the tabernacle and started the study in 2008. And I want to say it was 2009-something we got into the stones of the breastplate. And I had been studying that for a long time. We're not going to review those right at the moment. The Lord's not led that direction, but the breastplate of judgment with those stones on the front, it was solidly attached to the ephod by the shoulder pieces, and that it made it one garment. And so Abiathar or Zadok would have to bring the ephod, and they would pray, and there would be a sacrifice. And in this particular case, they're inquiring of the Lord first. They're finding out what is wrong, what's going on. And so David comes before, there's a great ritual, a great ceremony, and there's prayer, and there's probably sacrifices involved, a sacrifice of peace offerings more than likely, and there's a very specific ritual involved in that, and it was very ritualized. It wasn't just David going to the altar and praying. No, he's the king. And he's going before the high priest. And it's a big deal. It's a national crisis that he's dealing with. It's not just personal. He's dealing with this on a national level. He's dealing with this in the office of being king. And even though it was not his fault, he was going to have to deal with what Saul had done. And so, by process of the ritual, they came up with the conclusion that Saul had slain the Gibeonites, and it was because of that that God was sending a famine. Now, why now? You know, that right there is a great question, isn't it? Why now? Why not then? Why not right then? You know, 1 Samuel does not record this incident. 1 Samuel does not record the fact that Saul had slain the Gibeonites at all. We find this out here. I don't know when it happened. I don't know what part of the reign of Saul it was, if it was early or if it was late, but God did not deal with it right then for whatever reason. Maybe that happened before Saul disobeyed the Lord. I don't know. Of course, that was very early in Saul's reign. Saul went for 30-something years away from the Lord, where that evil spirit came to him, and he couldn't and the Spirit of the Lord departed from him. So, you know, it likely happened after all that, but we're not told. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, God did not deal with Saul about it. God did not have, give instruction to Saul. Saul was out of communication with the Lord. David, on the other hand, was in communication, and he would listen. And now there's a famine. And you know, I don't know, the Gibeonites have probably stewed on this for a while, and maybe that's how it come about. Maybe somebody came and said, you know, I got an idea. And David might have said, what's your idea? He said, well, you know, Saul, years ago, he slew a bunch of Gibeonites in his zeal for the Lord. He thought he was going to purify Israel. But we had a, you know, Israel has a vow, an oath to the Gibeonites that was sworn by Joshua, unbeknownst to Joshua at that. And God was going to hold them to that oath. And now, maybe that's what's going on. And then David would have said, okay, Zadok or Abiathar, whichever one was wearing the ephod and doing the divination for him, he would say, all right, put it before the Urim and the Thummim. Is it for the Gibeonites that Saul slew? And the priest would make prayer and make supplication, perform the ritual, go before, perform all the things that needed to be done. Of course, there was no temple, and the tabernacle was in one place. Oddly enough, the tabernacle was at Gibeon, which is interesting. You check up with me on that. Check up on me. I'm not 100% sure of that. You check up on me. I'm not going to take the time to look it up right this instant, but it's quite possible the tabernacle was at Gibeon at that point in time. Because I think it was at Gibeon up until Solomon built the temple. The Ark of the Covenant was in Jerusalem, but the tabernacle itself was up at Gibeon. And now maybe David's up there worshiping and he's going before the Lord to inquire, and maybe he's making an inquiry. And maybe it's somebody in the audience. Somebody's there, and one of the Gibeonites says, it's because of Saul and what he did to us. Well, and David put that question to the priest, and the priest reached into his breastplate of judgment and came out with the appropriate sign that said, yes, that's what it is. Well, David might have asked him to verify that. Do that again. How did you come up with that? And then that person would have said, well, here's the story. Here's the story. Here's what happened. The Gibeonites, you know, they're remnants of the Amorites. And Joshua made a covenant, made an oath. The people of God made an oath to protect them. And then the Gibeonites were put to use as laborers. And they were very harshly dealt with, but they weren't destroyed because of the oath that to them. And then David says, wow, okay, what do we do? And again, if the tabernacle is at Gibeon, then the Gibeonites are right there, so all David's got to do is turn around and say, okay, get your people together and let's talk. What do we do? What needs to be done? And they say, well, we don't want any silver or gold of Saul. What we want is seven sons of Saul. Now, I don't know if they knew about Mephibosheth already. I don't know. But there were other sons of Saul to choose from. There were seven others. And these were sons of Michal, whom she brought up to Adriel, of Barzillai, and then there was the two sons of Rizpah, Saul's concubine. Now they were sons of Saul. They were of the bloodline, and so here they are, and they're brought before the Gibeonites, and the Gibeonites go and hang them. Now, what is the basis for what the Gibeonites are doing? Why did David go ahead and do that? Well, if we go to Numbers, chapter number 35, Numbers 35 is the regulations concerning the slayer and the cities of refuge and the revenger of blood. Now, in this case, the Gibeonites are the revenger of blood for their people. And so, I encourage you to read the entire chapter. We're going to look starting at verse number 30. Numbers 35:30. Listen closely. Whoso killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. But one witness shall not testify against any person to cause him to die. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a murderer, which is guilty of death. But he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I the Lord dwell among the children of Israel. Listen to what it says. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye are, for blood it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. Now this is the regulation of the city of refuge and of the slayer and of the revenger of blood. The procedure was the person had to, if they slew somebody, they could go to the city of refuge. The priest there would judge, and the revenger of blood of the person who was killed could lay in wait. And if the person went outside the city of refuge until the priest that year died, then the revenger of blood could kill the slayer, and they would not be guilty of murder themselves. That was the way it worked. And notice what it says, there shall be no satisfaction taken. What does that mean? No silver or gold. That's what it means. The Gibeonites are actually going according to the regulation here in Numbers chapter 35. They are. They apparently know it quite well. And they've apparently thought about this a long time. If it ever came up to be revenged on the house of Saul, they knew what to do. They knew what to ask. And they asked for 7 sons. That's complete. That's a complete revenge against the house of Saul. And so, David gives them what they want. David gives them 7 men, and they take and they hang them. And Rizpah, who was the mother of 2 of them, went and kept the birds and the beasts off of them for a long time, from the barley harvest to the early rains. And that's a while. And so she was keeping the birds and the beasts from defiling her children, her sons. So, the mother's love here, and I've heard this preached on. I've heard the love of Rizpah preached on, and how she loved her sons, even though they were the sons of Saul, and she was Saul's concubine, not his wife. The mother's love. And there's much can be said for a mother's love and about a mother's love. Mother's love toward her children, no matter what. No matter what her children may have done, or no matter what her children are going through, all of those things, there's nothing more can be said other than a mother's love. And she is putting it on the line. And after a while, David is told about it. Now, David does not hand over Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan. He's got an oath to him. And the Bible's pretty clear about oaths. And we're going to read something here in a minute that I think is going to boggle your mind about oaths and about what is said about oaths. You got to be careful what you say, okay? I'll just put it that way. Rizpah is going out, and she is absolutely dealing with the issue. Word comes back to David what Rizpah is doing. And so David says, let's settle this completely. Let's just settle the whole deal. And he goes and he gets the bones of Jonathan and Saul from Jabesh Gilead. And he gets the bones of these seven and he buries them all, and they have the proper ritual for them. But now what about this oath and this swearing? We have to be real careful. And let's look at Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 5. Leviticus chapter number 5. And let's read this, starting with verse number 1. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness whether he hath seen or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Now, how does that apply? What does that mean? When the high priest, Caiaphas, talks to the Lord and adjures him, he then replies and he answers. I encourage you to look that up. Verse number 2 here in Leviticus 5. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of unclean cattle or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. What? If you pronounce with an oath and you swear to something, even if you forget it, and even if it's to do evil, you not doing what you've sworn to do to on an oath, you're guilty of a trespass against the Lord. And that's what happened here. Saul, whether he knew about this oath and vow between Israel and Gibeon or not, whether he knew it or not, he's guilty of violating it, because Joshua had sworn that oath. Israel as a nation had sworn an oath to Gibeon that they wouldn't die. There's a lot to be learned here, and I think we are done with this. I think we are done with this particular passage. We're going to go to the next portion of the 21st chapter of 2 Samuel, the Lord willing, next week, as the Lord sees fit. You know, there's a bunch can be found in the rituals of the Old Testament, in the sacrifices, in the various things that went with the tabernacle. And the Lord's dealt with us over this back of now. But I encourage you to study it. I encourage you to study through it and to see what thus saith the Word of God about some of these things, and follow up with it in the Old Testament, in the law, in the books of Moses. So many things that you can find that affects what David does, like here with the Gibeonites. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email to broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.